Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
That is the unmistakable music of composer Philip Glass. This composition from Godfrey Reggio's new film, Visitors, that's opening this weekend at Landmark Sunshine in the East Village. Maybe you're one of the many audience members blown away by their first collaboration, Kyanis Katsi. If so, it wouldn't surprise you to know that for the new film as well, the score is the soundtrack. There are no words, just indelible images. I'm joined now by director Godfrey Reggio to talk about this latest film that features at least one New York City resident and was put together in Red Hook. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. Pleasure.
And you didn't put words in your film, and I've read that you resist explaining your film. So this could be a very short interview, but I think we'll find plenty to talk about in how you approach filmmaking and the issues that matter to you. The title of your first film, Kyanis Katsi, was from the Native American Hopi language for life out of balance. Does that idea animate this film as well?
I think all the films I've done in some way have had a relationship to, at least in my very limited opinion, about technology. Technology for me is one of the most misunderstood subjects in the world. We think that we use it, that it's the use or misuse we make of it that determines its value. For me, it's as ubiquitous as the air we breathe. Everything is situated in it. Its truth becomes the truth. And since we are human beings, we become the environment we live in. Technology is the new and comprehensive host of life.
Everything is technology. The zipper on your vest is technology. The internet is technology. What do you mean?
Technology, technology out of the machine. Technology with a big T. Technology as the new organization of the world itself. In 1900, we had arguably 30,000 languages and principal dialects. Today, we have less than 4,000. As the world becomes globalized, we had, 1.7 billion people at 1900. Now, the number's astronomical. There's an inverse relationship.
And so the film is in black and white, and it's comprised of only 74 shots. I believe that's right. I saw some of it, and I see that it's, you know, obviously at a pace that makes the audience slow down and spend some time exploring each image and scene. Is that part of your reaction to technology?
Yes, indeed. As it were, we're on speed and rush hour, outrunning our future. The normal theatrical film, a cut comes every 3 to 5 seconds or so. The point of view of visitors is that the stiller one becomes, the more heightened their senses may become. Now, this is not for everyone. This is not a mass man film. On the other hand, it's something radically different. It's in diametric opposition to the nature of the way images are put together today, coming at us like a tomahawk.
And I think another way that you try to make the point with what you shot is that people in the film are shot fairly close up and are looking right at the camera. At least that's how the audience sees it. But some of the people are actually looking at television screens?
Yes, many of them are. The children are watching TV, movies on TV. The older people, the young adults, are gaming. And then some of them are in a sports bar for the Final Four basketball game.
So, in effect, we're watching ourselves watching images.
Well, the film is about observing ourselves observing. As weird as this might sound, the subject of this film is you watching the film. I know that sounds absurd for some, pretentious for others, but it might be something that you might have a connection with. You'd have to see.
In the pursuit of self-awareness.
Indeed.
Does it strike you as ironic at all that you're using the latest technology in digital filmmaking to create a film that questions our relationship to the latest technology?
No, but I want to point out that it is a contradiction. And that's a contradiction that I've had to deal with and now freely embrace. If I may give an example, I live in the American Southwest. We have forest fires, huge ones. Frequently, one has to start a fire in order to deal with the fire. So if I want to speak to the public, you know the statement, when in Rome, speak like the Romans, do as the Romans. Technology is the language of the world we live in. So I have to use, I can't make an immaculate conception, have to indeed do it in this manner.
Godfrey Reggio with us, director of the film Kyanis Katsi, and now Visitors, newly released. And let's hear a little more of the soundtrack as we talk about your collaboration with Philip Glass on these films. I found this clip of him, as we listen to some of the music in the background, explaining how you came to work together when you did a panel discussion following this film's premiere at the Toronto Film Festival.
I didn't write film music, so that he should probably look elsewhere. He didn't look. He stayed around New York. He came in from Santa Fe, and a mutual friend called me and said, look, why don't you go and look at what it's done? Then you can go home, and, you know, that'll be that. And I went, we're at Jonas Mekas' Cinematheque at 80 Worcester Street. He had it for the afternoon. And I think he showed me probably the first reel of Kyanis Katsi. And he played, he said, I want to play this. It's about 8 or 10 minutes long. I'll play it with two scores. And he played one with some electronic music, and the second score was mine. Just music of mine. And then he said, well, as you can see, your music really works a lot better. And of course, I agreed. And I didn't realize it, but I kind of had agreed to do the film score by this.
So is that how you remember it?
Yes, indeed. Philip didn't want to do movies, had no interest in them at that time. So if he could see it, taste it, smell it, touch it, then he could respond. He did so generously without thinking that film would ever see the light of day.
And I read that he actually went on the photo shoots with you, which would be, you know, so far removed from the usual situation of where a filmmaker gives a composer the footage and he does the music from there in a studio.
Well, indeed, Philip likes to go to as many of the locations as possible. He gets an original charge independent of anything I might tell him. He went to the Bronx Zoo. He saw the gorilla. He got his own charge. I asked Philip never to write note one unless he becomes completely marinated in the complete ethos, point of view, subject matter of the film.
The gorilla, who we also see head on, a contrast to the human beings in a way that you can articulate?
Well, Lauren Isley, I'll paraphrase him, says that we've not seen ourselves until we've been seen through the eyes of another animal. I felt that the gorilla, we usually see the gorilla as King Kong, as Mighty Joe Young. In fact, the gorilla in this film is the adult in the room. We humans are the real King Kong, the real Mighty Joe Young. And it's through her gaze, this reciprocal gaze, that maybe we can see more about who we are.
And when I mentioned in the introduction that one New York City resident is featured in the film, that would be Triska the gorilla from the Bronx Zoo.
Indeed. She's the diva of this film.
I want to play one more clip of Philip Glass, another 30 seconds of him from that same discussion about how your images and his music go together.
The music and the image works together. The music, what it provides for the spectator is that it gathers the attention of the spectator and keeps it on the film. But then you can look at it another way. You can say that the film gathers the spectator's attention to listen to the music. And I would say that they're both true, that both of the way of listening, the way of seeing are parallel strategies, and they work together at the same time.
And I hope it's that way when his music is playing under a radio interview, too.
Okay.
But do you agree that the images and the music work in sync like that, that the images draw attention to the music as much as the music draws attention to the images?
Yes, indeed. As someone has said, it's more to be able to see the music and hear the image. And in that fusion of image and music, as contradictory as that might sound, that's possible. Music doesn't proceed through metaphor. It is a direct transmission to the soul of the listener. So each person is affected differently by it. It is, in effect, the emotive narration of the film.
I think he also said that you both came to your work in non-traditional ways. And I saw on Wikipedia that you were a monk for 14 years.
I was a Christian brother, yes.
And in an order that kept silent?
No, that's something that was put in the... There are times in the day when you keep silence as a Christian brother, certainly when you're a young brother. But we were an apostolic order, an order... I was like a male nun, if that gives you some reference. We had an apostolate. We lived a very clear community life. We had times of silence, but we were out teaching. That was our job.
And as someone who's lived a life of contemplation, what do you think we lose by being so connected through gadgets and technology?
Well, we become those gadgets. We become what our fingers do, what our eyes see, what our ears hear. Because we're human beings, we become the environment we live in. This film is an attempt to give you another point of view about that world, as it were, a contemplation. Meditation is what you do. Contemplation is a gift offered to you.
By the way, were you going to correct the Wikipedia page? Did you say that that incorrectly got inserted in the Wikipedia page that you
That's
were...
That's been... I don't use the
monk.
Internet, but I know since the early days of Koyaanisqatsi that was put in. It's not to say there's not silence and prayer. Of course, there's prayer and all that goes with the religious community. But it's not like being a Trappist. It's a different modality.
That's why even though I love Wikipedia, when I take a reference from there, I do ask the guests to confirm it, as we did in that case. People should know that the feature film director, Steven Soderbergh, is a fan and is listed in the credits right at the beginning as presenting this film. What does that mean? What's Steven Soderbergh's role?
Well, you know, gee whiz, I hope he's not offended, but Steven Soderbergh and Francis Coppola, those guys that have presented the film, George Lucas, they're like the equivalent of Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. They're ubiquitous. They're known by the whole world. And so it's the known introducing the unknown. I'm not a known person. But Steven Soderbergh is like wallpaper. Everyone knows who he is. So it was very generous on his part. It was not asked for. He gave it to us.
It was an endorsement. And I saw that he objects to your films being labeled as non-narrative, preferring experimental. Do you agree that there is a narrative, even though there's no language, no dialogue?
Indeed. I call it a speechless narration, as a dialogue between the viewer and the screen, this reciprocal gaze as a dialogue from within. However, these films are not experimental. Now, that's something I'd like to correct.
Go ahead.
That's for science. This is not science. We're finding something that's already present. These are experiential films, have nothing to do with experiments.
Have you watched audiences watch your films? Do you think they work best in certain kind of venues or certain kind of settings, even though each one would be a dark room with a screen and a projector?
Yes, I have watched audiences, especially at film festivals, because I'm there and, you know, I should be in attendance. And I usually sit on the last row, and I can tell immediately if people are restless, moving, the heads turning, fidgeting, then they didn't get into the activity of the film.
Yeah. And we'll give the local shout-out that the film's editor is John Kane, who works out of Red Hook.
Not only shout-out, but I always work with people more talented than I. John Kane is the perfect example of that. He helps me realize what it is I can't do.
So we will have to leave it there. Visitors opens on Friday at the Landmark Sunshine here in the city, Lower East Side, Godfrey Reggio. And editor and assistant director John Kane will do Q&As at some of the screenings this weekend. And the Museum of Art and Design is screening the films of Godfrey Reggio, and he'll be teaching a masterclass there tonight. You can check out our website for links, including the trailer for Visitors. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.